We are constantly interacting with others, whether in person or over the phone or online, and, you know, most of those contacts go pretty smoothly. But unfortunately, there are some folks out there who are looking to take advantage of you and me, and it's important that we talk about the situations we encounter so that others can avoid them and that consumer advocates know what's happening around the state. And we're lucky to have great department working on consumer protection issues. They compile reports from people around the state. They get information out to the rest of us. And every month or so, they come by to talk with us here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Sandy, thanks for coming by.
Good morning, Larry. It's nice to be here.
And nice to have you. And Michelle Ryan, and thank you so much. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to have you as well.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
Always lots of things that we can talk about. And let me, as you listen in today, you may have a question or comment for our guests. Have you been a victim of a scam, or do you think you might have avoided one? What tipped you off, maybe? I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. October is Cybersecurity Month. This is the 10th year that it's been marked. What kind of information do we need to think about protecting when we are online, Sandy?
Well, you know the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That definitely applies to our dealings online. And if you have just the basic security safety tips in mind when you're online, anything you can do to protect yourself and your money. What's at stake is your computer, your personal device, or the worst case is a cyber criminal gets a hold of your banking account information or your social security number, and then you have to spend a lot of time and effort in getting everything straightened out. So some of the basics are keep a clean machine. And what I mean by that is make sure that you have the latest security software, web browser, and operating systems, because they're always updating to take care of known issues that are out there. And that also applies, it applies to your desktop. It also applies to your smartphone and your tablet, whatever internet gaming systems, whatever internet-connected devices you have. If you can, set your software updates to update automatically. That way, as soon as there's an update out there that's been developed to address a virus or malware of some kind, it'll be downloaded onto your device immediately. Passwords are so important, and they're like the key to your personal home online. We recommend that people use a long and strong password and have a unique password for every unique account. What can happen is if you use the same password for every account you have, if somebody hacks into your email account, that gives them access to your banking information.
Sure.
And every account that uses your email to reset the password. There are a lot of applications out there now that you can use to manage your passwords. Some are free, some are more complicated and provide additional security and charge you a little bit. But really pay attention to your passwords. And if you have to write them down to keep track of them, that's fine. Just don't leave them right near your computer where a thief who breaks
don't
in
would find. Don't tape them to the computer screen.
Right, or write them on the sticky note and stick them to your computer. And here's another one that most people know, but protect your money. When you're doing some kind of a financial transaction online, whether you're shopping or doing some kind of work with your credit card account or bank account, make sure that you see that HTTPS or sometimes SHTPP in the web browser address. That lets you know that that's a secure site and you should feel safe in transmitting personal information that way.
So lots of good information there. And, you know, I'm thinking about health insurance coverage. Now, we have enrollment coming up now under the Affordable Care Act, or as it's called, some people call it Obamacare. I guess it's not surprising that there are some associated scams connected with that. Can you talk a little bit about those as well?
Sure. Like anything out there, the way that these scammers are going to reach out to contact you that we've seen from other states, we haven't gotten a lot of reports in Wisconsin at this point, but I'm sure it's coming. You know, it's the traditional ways, phone, fax, email, in person, just the mail. So one of the reasons these scammers are being successful is people just don't know a lot about what's required of them and what needs to be done. So doing your research, making sure you're going to official government sites to do your research about the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is the best thing that you can do as a consumer.
They're all .gov, aren't they?
They are. And one of the best sources is the healthcare.gov website to get information about the health reform and how it affects the consumer. So if you're going to go to a state website, the Office of Commissioner of Insurance, that's a .gov. The Department of Health Services in Wisconsin, a .gov. So one of the scams that we've seen in other states is the imitation website, that you're getting a reference and you're going to a .com, a .org, something else. So be sure you're going to a .gov to get your information. We're also seeing things in other states where callers are trying to say they're from the federal government, that they are a navigator, because there are navigators who are out there that are funded through grants, and they have to get certain licenses from different states. And they're saying that they're being directing consumers to purchase insurance cards in order to be eligible for coverage under the Affordable Care Act. And again, knowing the information, and there's confusion with the timing of enrollment and how it overlaps with other services that are available. So the fake websites, the having to call about cards, the form that you're having to be contacted, and these navigators are really the types of things that are hanging people up. So if someone is claiming to be from Obamacare, the things you need to watch out for is never wire money. We say that almost every time we're on the show. Don't wire money. Don't give a green dot card. Don't give out your bank account information or any prepaid card services that are out there. Simply hang up on callers if they're trying to ask for your bank account, personal information, social security number. Just hang up on those callers and report that to the fraud.org, the Federal Trade Commission as well. They want to know about that so we can continue to educate consumers about what's up there. And again, looking for that .gov is the best thing you can do on the websites to educate yourself about it.
And just as an aside on this, if you already have health care insurance and you're happy with the health care insurance you have, I don't think you have to go through anything with the Obamacare part.
Well, what we've seen in the past is that the scammers follow the news, obviously, and they are so good at identifying vulnerabilities in people. So one of the things we're concerned about, and we've already seen happening in other states, is that they will call an elderly person and say, I'm from, you know, Obamacare, and you need to do something with Medicare and update your Medicare card. And please read to me the number that's on the back of your card so I can verify. And that's, of course, their Social Security number. So they kind of use the Affordable Care Act being in the news as leverage to get at people in other ways as well.
We have many callers online to visit with you, and you can join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Facebook question from Gigi. Adobe had a huge security breach and notified me recently my information was compromised. Credit card numbers, etc., were stolen and some were decrypted. They offered free membership to protect my ID alert, and I took advantage of that. They also recommended either placing a fraud alert or a security freeze on our credit. What would you recommend in that circumstance, Michelle?
Adobe did have a large breach. So if you're being contacted directly by a source, feel confident, but you can always double check to make sure it's not a fraudulent breach that someone's reaching out about. Follow what you, you know, go ahead, change all your passwords and take care of that information. And then you have to think about what information did you have stored on that site? How have you used it? Is it a bank card? Is it a credit card? Is it your social security number? What have you ever given out to determine if you want the security freeze or a just fraud alert put on your account? The fraud alert will let it's a program that you'll be notified if someone tries to take out credit, whereas security freeze will prevent the credit from ever being taken out. It's more than just notification.
Yeah.
And if you're a victim of identity theft, you can get those for free. But if you're a consumer that just wants to protect your information, you can pay to put a freeze on your account and make sure that no one can do these extensions of credit, even yourself.
Okay. Mary in La Crosse has a question for you. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I have a question, and this has been a lingering issue for I know over 3 years because I've been at this residence 3 years. And when I was at my last one, I used to get these calls, and it's asking me, well, it's telling me that they can reduce my credit card rate, and so usually I just hang up, but once. This has been over 3 years ago. I thought, well, I'm going to see what this is all about. And obviously, I didn't have enough credit card debt, but and they wouldn't give me any information about who they were or anything. So all these years, I always hang up. But my neighbor and I don't know if they bunch these calls or what, have been getting a lot of these lately. And so a few weeks ago, I pressed the button, and right away she came on with a question, how much do you owe on your credit card? And I said, no, I have a question for you. And she hung up right away. Well, then I have gotten a couple cents, and I've tried to write the number down, but unless I'm in front of my TV and see it, all I can catch is that it's a 201 area code. And do you have any idea who this is? Because I was hoping to get some information so that, you know, these calls could be stopped.
Yeah, stopping these calls is a real problem, isn't it, Sandy?
It really is. And people have just been driven batty over these robocalls. And we do recommend that as soon as you hear that recorded message, you just hang up. And unfortunately, pressing buttons will identify your line as a live number.
Yeah.
It sounds like the typical scam where you have somebody verifying how much you owe on your credit card, and then if you had answered the question, you would have been transferred to another boiler room somewhere else in the world. These calls are almost always, without fail, fraudulent operations, and that's why we recommend that people just hang up. The Federal Trade Commission has taken action against a number of these operations, and they typically are just spread out all over the world, which makes it very difficult to track them down. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is something, these robocalls are something that require a technological solution, because when they're spread out all over the world, it makes it very difficult for us to track them down and take action when the fraud laws in other countries may be very different from ours, for example. The Federal Trade Commission had a contest a few months ago looking for answers to the robocall problem. And one of the winners is now actually in operation. Mm-hmm. It's a business called Nomo Robo. And I won't go into how it works, but you can go to their website, nomorobo.com, and sign your number up. They will tell you whether your carrier, whether they can do this on your carrier. Right now, it looks like they're only covering people who have voice over internet phone service. But as more people push to have their phone service covered, it will spread out. So they say they're able to block about 80% of robocalls. So
wow.
That would be great if that happened, because it's not only frustrating for people who are at home all day, it's also a drain on the economy to businesses who get these same calls. So
absolutely. Mary, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, as we talk with them about consumer protection issues. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, talking with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers about sharing their wit and wisdom about consumer protection. Great to have them along. You may have a question for them. Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Jim in Middleton next. Jim, hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, so I just wanted to tell you guys about a scam going on Craigslist. It's actually a fairly old scam, it turns out. But I moved to Middleton last fall for a job, and my family stayed where I was living before. And so I just rented a flat and with a loft, so it was kind of tiny, and we were looking for a bigger place. And so we were looking at some houses and stuff, and my wife contacts me and says, hey, I found this house that we're looking at, but it's actually for rent, and you can actually rent it for a couple of years. And the story was that the guy was a doctor, and he had moved to Africa for his church or whatever to do some Christian work, and that he needed somebody to rent his house for 2 years, and it was a really good deal. And so she had contacted him, and she'd given him my Google phone number and one of my fake email addresses so that, because we never use our real email addresses until we actually trust the company.
Yep.
And so we basically corresponded for maybe a few hours back and forth, and then he sent me this application, and on the application it was things like, a normal rent application like I had just filled out, except it also included, what your bank account, who's your bank with, and what's your social security number, and what are your pets' names. And so I called him to find out, really what's going on here. And he goes, don't even worry about it. You just need to send me the $500. Just wire me the $500. And I'm like, oh, darn it. Because, I just got almost scammed here by somebody. But they had really done their homework. I mean, the house was actually listed on a realtor website. They had found the person who was actually trying to sell the house. They had linked to his website. He was a doctor. There was all this stuff to make it look like it was a real legitimate opportunity, except, of course, it was just a way to give me the wire $500 to Nigeria or someplace.
Wow.
We hear a lot about Craigslist scams, and Craigslist says, deal locally with somebody that you can meet face to face, and by doing that, you can eliminate 99% of the scams out there. And kind of the red flags to look at on Craigslist, an inquiry from somebody far away in another country, usually Africa, and they may say that they're there on military service or on a mission trip, adds some legitimacy to it. If they want you to wire money, or they want to send you a cashier's check or money order, or they talk about an escrow service or a guarantee, those are big red flags. And then, of course, they refuse to meet you face-to-face before clinching the transaction. Again, almost everybody who posts something on Craigslist will get a ping, usually from a country in Western Africa. And what we recommend is, before you list something for sale on Craigslist or think about buying something on Craigslist, just click on the scams button there on the site. And that way you can see what Craigslist recommends, and you can look at some of the more recent scams that they've been detecting.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your call very much. Kind of interesting to see how those things operate. Marcia and Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, well, I had a scam which I think is pretty typical. I was sent a money order from a London bank in an amount that made no sense to me. I was expecting a check, but this was too much. I was then contacted by the person I was expecting a check from and said, oh, that's my check. I'm so sorry, my fiancé got that wrong. Would you just send back the $1,000 that's in addition to what we owe you and cash the money order? Well, we were a little suspicious. We had put the money order in the bank. It seemed to have been, there was no problem with that, it seemed. But the grammar was wrong. There was communication stuff that wasn't right. We didn't act right away. We finally just put in overpayment, money order, scam, Googled it, and came up with that this was a scam. And I think the rule there is never send money back. Get a new check. 2 weeks later, the bank told us that the $5,000 check was no good, but it was 2 weeks later, so we would have made the refund. We could have made the refund in that time.
Yeah. There you go. That's another one you've heard a lot about, Michelle.
That's right. And Marcia explained the scam perfectly to the T of what happens. It's what we call fake check scam. And they send you a check for more than you are expecting. And often you're not even expecting a check. So in her case, it was complicated by the fact that she was waiting for a check. You cash the check, you send money back, and then exactly a longer period of time that you find out from the bank that the check doesn't clear, because these checks fool the banks oftentimes, and it takes a while. So you're not expecting a check. There's grammar errors. They want money back. They want it wired, and just rip it up, throw it away. It's a no-good check. You're going to be out the money that you may have spent because you cashed the check, thought you had some money in your account. Now you have overdraft issues, plus the money you wired back, and it just gets complicated.
Thanks again, Marcia, for calling. And, of course, if they're paying you, they're giving you money, it's hopefully you haven't sent them something that they're buying from you.
Well, exactly. If it was a purchase situation, Larry, that's a good point. Then you're out the good that you had as well.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
We see this a lot in conjunction with eBay, Craigslist, and also sometimes in sweepstakes type scams.
Oh.
And people say, here are your winnings. We're sending you a little more. All you have to do is send us something back to cover our processing fees. And people, unfortunately, fall for that.
Adam and Stevens Point. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hey. So basically, what happened to me was I was at work and I was having problems with my computer. So I just Googled customer service number for Microsoft. And actually, like some of the top numbers I found, I called one of them and it ended up being this guy that said, you know, hey, no problem. We can fix your computer. All I need is some information. I'm going to have to basically log on to your computer and get information off of it. And that's how we're going to fix it. And immediately I was like, well, that's just not going to happen. I said, are you scamming me? And we kind of had a little bit of an argument because I just get really frustrated with these people. And so I just thought it was really interesting that it was so easy to find even a scammer just on a top Google search.
Yeah.
And it looked so legitimate because there was no indication to me that you know, the typical indications that it's not legitimate. You know, and I called it and he acted professional and everything. You know, so I guess you know, just be aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, these look-alike websites are very in the world, which makes it difficult for us from an enforcement perspective. We also see these look-alike websites tied to charity fraud, where especially after natural disasters or newsworthy events of some kind, and they'll have American Red Cross and just a little bit different spelling of the name. And it's actually very easy for these crooks to come up with a website that duplicates.
Jim, several months ago, we bought two travel vouchers for MetJet at a fundraising event. MetJet probably donated the vouchers. So now MetJet is out of business. So far, my efforts to contact MetJet via phone and email have failed. Will I have any recourse, or am I just out several hundred dollars?
MetJet is a small carrier that operated out of De Pere and flew out of the Green Bay airport there, and they fly just to a few airports in Florida, Minneapolis, and I think Cancun. And they did announce last week that they will be shutting down. And we've heard from dozens of people who are in a situation similar to Jim's. What we recommend is that you file a complaint with the department, and you can do that by calling 1-800-422-7128. And we will attempt to work with MetJet and see what we come up with as far as some kind of resolution to these issues.
So it's 1-800-422-7128.
That's right.
Okay. Linda in, we'll probably post that up on our Facebook. I think we already have it up there. Linda in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Larry. I have two cell phone questions. I know I only talked to Judith about one. Our son has a, and I'm calling for our, well, the first question is about our son's cell phone. He is with a carrier that I understand recently installed some software, which is making it difficult for people to get bills and all of this kind of stuff. And we had, there is one blip in his data use, and he has tried several times to get a printout of what this data use was. And twice they have sent us his voicemail, you know, the calls and the text messages, but not any information about the data charges. Subsequently, because we told him not to pay for the data charges, until we get, what they told him was is that his data usage had been going up. So he gave me the bills, I plotted it out, and it's a flat line, except for this 1 month. And so recently, they canceled his service. And we've still been unable to get the data charges. I know that people with this particular carrier have had trouble getting bills and overbilled and, you know, all kinds of issues since this system was put in untested. What can we do? What can we recommend for him so that his credit rating doesn't tank?
Yeah, I think right away, Linda, what we need you to do is have your son file a complaint with our agency, because this is something we're aware of and we're trying to gather different data to see what its impact is and what's happening. So even outside of that review, we'd look at it and try and mediate the complaint. So if you could get him to file that, that would be good.
Well, he goes to school and he works full time. Is it something that I can do for him?
Sure, or he can do it online. You don't have to.
Okay.
You can call us during our office hours, 7:45 to 4:30, to get a complaint form sent out at that 800 number.
Okay.
Or you can just go online 24/7 and file a complaint form, and that's to datcp.state.wi.us.
Okay.
We'll have it up on my Facebook page, so
I'll do that. Now, the second question is about our cell phone, which is a different carrier. And yesterday I made a phone call to Texas, and it was during the day, and before I even got the sound for dialing the number, I got a message that said, this call is subject to being recorded. This call is subject to being recorded. So I immediately hung up, and I redialed the number, and I didn't get the message. Have you heard of anything like this?
No, we haven't heard of that at this point, what that's all about.
Had you already dialed the whole number?
I dialed the whole number.
Right.
I hit the send button, and before I even, you know, how you hear the dial being made, I got a message that said, this call is subject to recording.
No idea what that could be. Although, you know, there are sometimes you get a message this call may be recorded for
monitoring purposes
or whatever. So it's possible with something like that, maybe?
Well, that's usually once you've connected,
yeah,
and it's that entity that's doing it for customer service,
right,
or whatever it is. But for it to happen before the call connected, I don't understand what that is.
No.
So it was good that you hung up and then just redialed and didn't have the message.
There you go, Linda. Thank you for calling. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, hello to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Excuse me. I wanted to share two things. One is the strategy that we've been following to pretty much eliminate the robo-scam calls. It's a low-tech one, and we don't have a caller ID, and we do have an answering machine. And we've put a short message on our answering machine. We warn all of our friends, and if we leave a message for someone to call us back, we warn them that we are screening all of our calls. So we let the answering machine pick it up, and then if it's a real person and they start talking, we pick it up and talk to them. And if it's a scam call, We just let the answering machine do it, and then we delete the call. We were picking up the phone and following the instructions you gave earlier of as soon as you hear the recorded message, hang up. But that was giving them a tip off that it was a live line, and we were getting 12 to 15 robo scam calls a day, and now we're down to maybe one, possibly two a day. And so it really has worked. And we just warn anybody that is going to be calling us that, you know, wait through the message and then start talking. And if we're not here, leave a message. And if we're here, we'll pick up. And the second thing is one of those few, very few now scam calls that we're getting is a new one that has popped up. And I don't know all of the details of it. It actually was one time was quite a long message, and they've since started hanging up after they start leaving message, they hang up. So I haven't been able to record and keep all of the message, but it is something about time is running out on the Economic Recovery Act and call right now or push a number or something, take some action to claim your $3,000 worth of grocery vouchers. And then it goes on and there's more to it, but that's the hook.
You heard that one, Sandy?
Well, we have, and unfortunately they will use any kind of hook they can that they think that people will, you know, take the bait. And free groceries, you know, that's something that interests a lot of people. All her strategies are good ones. Screening calls, if you do have caller ID, making sure that it's from a number you recognize before you pick up. And as these robocalling crooks have gotten more and more sophisticated, they don't want to talk to your answering machine because they have to pay for that time. And so generally, as soon as the answering machine picks up, they will disconnect. So, you know, her strategy is a good one.
Thanks again, Stella, for calling. And Pat in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for the program.
Sure.
I'm wondering if your guests have an idea of what Equifax is doing with respect to the Affordable Care Act. Apparently they have a contract because they're one of the four entities that's being called before the House of Representatives next week to explain the problems. So I'm wondering what role they may play, if you have an idea.
No ideas?
No idea what that will be. So it'd be interesting to watch and see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I can't help you out on that one, but thank you. Kristen in Milwaukee, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I am interning, or I work for a coalition right in Milwaukee called Exploit No More, and it's fighting against sex trafficking. And a lot of people don't understand or realize the whole criminal business. It's actually going to be the world's second largest business by the end of 2014. And Craigslist is, you know, it's all internet to solicit and get girls in who are trafficked. It's not necessarily kidnapping the girls or the little boys, but it's also it's a smart business, and they use Craigslist to get girls to, you know, oh, we need a nanny, we need somebody to dog sit, or we need somebody for modeling, and then they feed off of their naivety, and Craigslist is used so much for getting girls and people and smuggling them into this criminal business. So I think it's so important for people to realize sex trafficking is on the rise. It is in Milwaukee. It is all over Wisconsin. It is all over the United States. It's our own civilians, about 83%. And you can look these statistics up. Explain No More's website is growing. The director, her name is Katie Lynn. She's great. It's a very ugly criminal business. A lot has to do with the internet age and the depravity of soliciting young girls to perform sexual acts and young men and boys against their will. And I just want to repeat again, it has to do with the internet completely.
Thank you for calling, Kristen. And Sandy, comment on that?
I know our Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, has been looking into these issues. Those don't fall under our legal authority. However, we have seen some babysitting scams on Craigslist, and they fall more under the fake check fraud that Michelle discussed earlier, where somebody will respond to an ad posted by a wealthy couple in Chicago, and this quote-unquote wealthy couple sends them a check saying, here's your first week's wages. We threw in a little extra. If you don't mind, we made out the check for the wrong amount. Why don't you send us back the difference? Well, that's that fake check overpayment scam that Michelle was talking about earlier.
Thanks, Kristen, again for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, talking with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection about all those scams that are out there to take your money and mine. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Norman Gilliland reads from An Echo Through the Snow by Andrea Thalassinos. After 1, MSNBC anchor Chris Matthews joins Kathleen Dunn to talk about the relationship between President Ronald Reagan and former Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill. And after 2, how to maintain lifelong, meaningful relationships. That's this afternoon on the Ideas Network.
It was a sad moment when I saw my car leave. I'm just thankful for public radio. I'm thankful for the vehicle donation program. Some of my favorite programs are Car Talk, Prairie Home Companion, and my Toyota Avalon has now become a part of public radio. My name is Ed Braswell, and I donated my 2000 Toyota Avalon to public radio.
Call 1-866-789-8627 or go to WPR.org.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from Madison College Continuing Education, dedicated to career enhancement and empowering employees through more than 400 non-credit courses. Details at madisoncollege.edu/keeplearning.
Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network, talking consumer scams today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. Great to have them along. Thank you so much for listening in. You know, Halloween is just a week from today, Michelle, and I know you have some tips for us to have a safe and a fun holiday.
That's right. One of the things we have with consumer protection is product safety. So we try and make sure that we're reminding consumers how to be safe when using different products. And with Halloween, we have a lot of Halloween costumes out there that can be long and drapey and maybe made of materials that could easily catch fire. So we need to keep the kiddies safe when they're out there trying to get all that candy. Reminding parents to make sure that costumes are very reflective in nature, carry a glow stick, make sure that you're seen wearing sturdy shoes. Don't have those long drapey costumes that you can trip over or, yeah, again, catch fire. Being safe in the pre-Halloween activities, carving the pumpkins. Part of the safety is to not be giving kids who shouldn't have knives the knives to be making the carvings. Let them draw with pencil or marker where they want the carving and have the adult do that. Or even more fun for the kids is give them a bunch of paint or markers and let them decorate the pumpkin that way. Instead of using candles, what the parents and homeowners that are giving out the candy can do is use the electric lights, the mm-hmm. fake candles, instead of an open flame. Or if you really want that open flame, because I like the scent when the pumpkin's kind of burning a little,
mm-hmm.
make sure you put the pumpkin up in a way where it can't be accessed by a child. The costume can't get wrapped up in it. Put it in a window where they won't be ringing the doorbell kind mm-hmm. of situation. And then making sure that, back to the costume, that the masks are visible, you know, the big eye holes, or paint the faces again instead of putting on a mask, because that will make sure that kids can see where they're going. Homeowners making sure that they don't have tripping hazards on the sidewalks or in the yards. It's fun to be rustling your feet through the leaves as you're jumping lawn to lawn, but make sure there's not a rake out there or any lawn ornaments that'll be tripped over, and make your property as visible as possible while still having the spooky effect for the kids to enjoy. Those are a bunch of the things that we really try and make sure that people are just paying attention to at this time of year. When the kids are out there gathering up the goods.
We'll be wandering through the neighborhood. Actually, my neighbor and I, we team up, and the women stay home, and the men go out with the kids, and so we wander up and down the streets. And I kind of like the idea of staying in your own neighborhood, too, and not getting... I think that's also another... something that probably...
Definitely a safety thing, because you know where you are. If you do get separated, you know your neighbors, so you have a safe person to talk to, making sure you have those connections there.
We have callers online. By the way, you can join in if you have a consumer question, 1-800-642-1234. Arlene and Madison up next with a question. Arlene, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, actually, I had two of them. First of all, the Nomo Robo thing sounds great, but like 2 days before my appointments, I get a robo call from my doctor's office. A, would that block that one also?
It would not. And what it does is, behind the scenes, compares white-listed numbers against black-listed numbers, and it can identify... blasts of calling that, you know, that's what robocalls do. So
right.
it would allow the automated calls for your doctor appointments or emergency broadcasts, Amber Alerts, things like that.
Okay, that's good. Now, the other thing was, you know, you get one of these calls and you don't answer it, or you just click it off. And then I've returned a call to that number, and then it says, this is not a working number. How can they call me if it isn't a working number?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very easy for these crooks to manipulate caller ID. So you really can't trust your caller ID. We've seen numerous cases where these criminals operating from overseas use a 608 or, you know, other Wisconsin area code. So it's...
Right, but when I call it back afterwards, after it's all hung up, I call it back and I reach a message that says this is not a working number.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use disconnected numbers because it makes it more difficult for enforcement agencies like ours to track them down. And as I said, they can be anywhere in the world calling you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Amazing, isn't it? Georgia in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. We have gotten two calls in the last 2 weeks, both saying that we won the Publisher Clearinghouse, $1.5 million. But in order to collect the money, we needed to meet someone in the Walmart parking lot. And the second one was at the Walgreens parking lot. But before we could collect this money, we needed to send them $60 to, I don't know what that was for. But neither one of these people who called could speak English very well, and we just hung up on them. But is that a call that's going around right now?
Yeah,
Michelle.
There's always a version of a clearinghouse, a prize scam that's going around, and because Publishers Clearinghouse is very well known from all the TV that happens, it's very often used in these scams. And so you did a great job with just hanging up. If you've won a prize, you don't need to pay to receive that prize. That's the biggest and first red flag. There's never that. And then the having to go meet somebody, that's another issue that was a good red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way. Thanks, Georgia. Okay. Appreciate your call. We have open lines. We can get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email from Kathy. I recently needed to renew my driver's license. Went online to find the hours of our local motor vehicle office, and while on their site, I read online, even though you are led to believe that it can be done online. The motor vehicle person I talked to was sympathetic, but there was nothing he could do. So be careful. Watch the web address.
Really good advice to make sure that if you're doing government business, conducting a government-related mm-hmm. transaction, make sure you're on a .gov website.
Thanks, Kathy, for that email. Appreciate it very much. Fred in Minong, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Good. Yeah, I got a call just yesterday from an individual. Of course, I don't know who they are, as most of us don't. And they said, ask me if I was still using a certain medication. And I do use a lot of medications. This particular medication that they named happened to be something that I really never even heard of. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You give me your telephone number and give me your extension. And he said, you send me $10 and we can arrange to get this medication to you for nothing. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You give me your telephone number and your extension and I'll call you back and we can talk. Click. And that was it.
Yeah. So there you were. You survived a you survived a scam chance, Fred. Appreciate it. Is that one you guys have heard about? Michelle, have you heard that?
No? I haven't heard that one, but it's similar to a lot of others where people are out there trying to piece together personal pieces of information about you, whether it be off Facebook or some source that they may have, or they're just playing guessing games and trying to get you to send them money in exchange for that something that they're calling about, and you never get the something. We've had Senior Alert where that's a scam that went around that we talked about the last couple times we were on, where they're trying to induce you to getting medical equipment for very cheap, and it was a mass robocall situation. We've recently had a widower's scam where they try to fake life insurance. They called someone who was recently widowed and said that there was this life insurance policy that they hadn't made enough payments on, and if you make these back payments, it'll be available. But really, they had just pieced together pieces from the obituary about where the gentleman had worked, when he'd stopped working there, and before the son found out, the woman had sent some money. So again, it's crooks and scammers out there just putting together pieces of information, trying to hook you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Of course, we've all heard the many How many relatives have I got that died in Nigeria and left me $1 million?
Exactly.
There's a lot of them out there, Fred. Thank you. Helen in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. My father is in his 90s, and he's in non-medical assisted living. And I got a call from them a couple days ago saying that they had been contacted by the VA saying that they were trying to put together an eye exam for new eyeglasses and something to do with physical and occupational therapy for him, that the VA was going to cover it, and that they needed something from the assisted living. And I talked to my father, and he had no clue, and he says that he didn't even know that you could get benefits like that from the VA. And I'm just wondering if that's some kind of a scam.
Well, it certainly could be.
Definitely be calling the VA directly.
Yeah, it's a good idea for you or your father to contact the VA and ask them if they called you. But in general, there are a lot of scams where people pose as government agencies because it adds a degree of legitimacy to their pitch. And he probably would have been asked for his credit card number or his social security number so they could schedule the appointment. So what we say to people, number one, Medicare or the VA typically doesn't contact people like this. But if you do have questions, call the number on the back of your Medicare card or call your local or closest VA clinic to see what they have to say about it.
And we can talk some more about that. We're going to take a quick look at the news and the weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we will be back with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. Stay with us. In the course of a month, we act as a consumer many, many times. You're paying the bills for utilities or rent or mortgage, or you purchase subscriptions or items online, and of course, going out to eat, buying groceries, lots of different transactions. Happily, most of them go smoothly and we get what we pay for. But those other times when there are problems and we can't get them addressed, we often need help to get them straightened out. I'm lucky to have with us a couple of people who know a lot about this. Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you back.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
And yes, and Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Sandy, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Nice to have you here. We have so many things we can talk about in the consumer scam area. If you have a question, you can join us at 800-642-1234. This is Cybersecurity Month, October is. Bob in Rochester may have something relating to that. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I have to say I listen to your show quite regularly, even though I'm in Minnesota.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, basically, and I have a second part to this, is there any site that is secure on the Internet, 100%?
That would be hard. You know, the most secure probably are the .govs. What do you
That's
think?
That's what I figured.
That's kind of a... On it. Is that a rhetorical question?
Oh, it's not really rhetorical. I just find it a little alarming that people are so trusting of this, even though there's other options out there. The main option that I guess I fend for is that you don't even have to lick it anymore. You just have to stick it on an envelope. I believe the Postal Service is 99.5% more secure than anything that's on the Internet or ever could be. And I find it alarming that people don't use it more or are using it less when it only takes a few minutes to accomplish that. Why risk your personal information?
Yeah. Well,
Michelle? It's a great point that people just need to, whatever method they're going to use, take the appropriate precautions. Nothing against the Postal Service or other mailing services, but identity theft and protecting your information online using the mail, it can happen either place. We've seen cases of both places. So it's just whatever you choose, taking those precautions to make sure you're being as secure as you can be, asking the questions, knowing who you're giving your information to, how long they'll keep it, why they need it, and if they keep it, how they'll destroy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could I add one other thing to the, what Sandy just said in regards to that as far as the security of the information? Yes, we've had issues with the Postal Service. It's probably more public than anything on the Internet. But I guess what I want to say is that we have our own enforcement agency, too, that would assist people if they have identities they've taken from their mailboxes or some kind of scam that shows up in their mailboxes. Once you get identity theft problems on the Internet, it's all in your lap. There's nobody basically there to walk you through the next 7-8 years it's going to take to clear up your credit and various other things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They do have a great inspection service, and they're a federal partner of ours that assists us regularly when we do have different crimes and scams going on, and they do an excellent job. Yep. And it does take many years to recover from identity theft should it happen. Good points.
Yep. Thanks, Bob. Rita in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Rita.
Good morning. I'm calling about a very strange email that I got, and I haven't opened it, but it's from no sender, no subject, and the date that it was sent was 12/31/1969. And there's no little, you know how there's always a little square box that you can check and then delete it? There's none of that. So I haven't been able to get rid of it. I haven't opened it, but have you heard of anything like this?
Oh, boy.
That is weird. You might call your Internet service provider and ask them what they think. It does sound very strange that you aren't able to delete it. In general, though, what we say about emails or texts, if it's something that you aren't expecting and it contains a link to click on or an attachment, if you're not absolutely sure that it's from someone you trust, just delete it. Because so frequently it will either direct you to a look-alike fraudulent website, or that attachment is some kind of malicious software that will infect your computer, and then you're really in trouble.
The fact that there, I don't see any way of deleting it, though. You know, there's no little box to check or anything. So I guess call the Internet provider. And
I would. It sounds like a virus to me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Rita. Thank you for calling. Let's see. We had another email from an email from Tim. Can you talk about the bogus renewal notices that magazine subscribers are receiving? Scientific American and others are receiving them. Should we be sending those solicitations to you for evidence, as evidence?
If these are subscription renewals for magazines that you do not get, they truly are fictitious magazines or magazines you do not currently get, yeah, we'd want you to file complaints, because we'd want to take a look at the type of solicitation they're making to make sure it's not a fake billing that could trip you up. And you're not allowed to do negative option billing in the state of Wisconsin or fake billings that way. So we would want to take a look. If it's just a lot of regular renewal subscription notices from a magazine you currently get, and they just start sending them basically a month or two after you first get your magazine, those we don't need, because you're in a relationship with that magazine and they're just trying to make sure you keep staying a customer of theirs. So we just want to see the fictitious kind.
Okay, there we go. We have Paul in Elkhart Lake. It's your turn, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling about I don't know if this is a scam or not, because I've never really gone through with it, but I get calls from someone who says that they notice that the warranty on my automobile has expired, and they can offer me extended warranty. And I usually, if I have time, I'll play along for a while and find out how much it costs. last time I talked to these people, the cost was $2,500 for 5 years of extended warranty. And I could make it in easy payments, or I could pay the whole thing with a credit card. I just wondered if they know anything about this, if this is a scam. They really don't want to tell me the name of the company when they talk to them. They just want to talk about if I still own the car, how many miles are on it, if the check engine light is on, or if I leak oil or anything like that.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of different calls like this, and often they act as though they're from your warranty company, and it's funny, then they would know what kind of vehicle you already have and how many miles may or may not be on it, depending upon the registrations and things. So it is a call that we receive from consumers quite a bit, that they've had this. If you're on the no-call list, we definitely want you to file a complaint about it. We want you to file a complaint even if you're not on no-call, so we know that it's happening and what type of solicitation is occurring out there.
And thanks very much for calling. By the way, the number to call Consumer Protection is, there's an 800 number to call. It's 1-800-422-7128. It's 1-800-422-7128. And we had someone earlier talking about the fact that somebody said, oh, you won, we're from Publishers Clearinghouse, you won, and meet us at Walmart. For the money, and someone, Marty, called in, wondered if the woman could have arranged the meeting at Walmart and then had the police go with her for the meetup, or just have the police go.
Well, I think her story went, they wanted her to send them money first, and then they were going to meet her at the parking lot. So I don't think they would have actually showed up.
But okay, that
obviously,
was the deal.
If you're in a situation like this, let the police know, and they can go and meet the person by themselves. I don't think they
Paul in Monona. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. Actually, I've been listening, and I was going to call in and mention a scam that had occurred to my mother-in-law, which was the insurance situation with someone who's recently widowed. And she had some people actually call and then set it up basically initially like that and, go to Walmart and get this prepaid card and actually send it to some address in Wisconsin that ended up not being an address or a legit address or whatever. And so she had initially, though, told them, well, my daughter's power of attorney, and, she handles all that for me. And then they fainted as if they called her at her work. They had someone else call back, a woman. The initial caller was a guy. And so then made her feel comfortable enough then to go to Walmart, get an $800 prepaid card, and then send it to this address. And then we got on it fairly quickly, and it was already over,
Yeah.
And it just really irritates me because she could definitely have used the $800,
Absolutely.
That's why I called, is I'm just really echoing that to anybody that is listening. I mean, just err on the side of caution because these people are ruthless.
Yeah, they sure are, Sandy.
Well, they are, and it appears that they're getting this information from online obituaries, which almost everyone has now. It's very common, whether your obituary through the funeral home or in the newspaper. I would like your mother-in-law to file a complaint with us, or you could file on her behalf. That would be fine.
They knew the insurance provider as well, which was really weird. It was, this insurance company, in order to collect on his premium, you have to pay this much more, which would be a premium payoff, and then you'll get the payback on the policy. And so she went through, all of that, and she was, fairly smart about some of it. And then, like I say, they just kept at her till she, like I said, went to the Walmart, got the card, sent it in, and then after that, it was all over.
Well, we really would like to follow up on this. So if you would file a complaint, it would really be helpful to us. So often we find that people are embarrassed by becoming victimized by this kind of fraud and they don't want to file a complaint. But by filing a complaint, at the very least, it helps us by understanding what's going on out there, and we can notify people around the state and prevent other fraud from happening.
Yeah. So the number to call and get the information, 1-800-422-7128. You can also go online to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. There, you can get the forms offline if you want to do that as well.
You know, Larry, we have a new Wisconsin Senior Guide. It's a booklet about 50 pages, and it goes through the most common scams that target seniors. We all know that the elderly are targeted by these crooks because they tend to have nest eggs built up. They don't always have the greatest memory, kind of fuzzy about the details about what happened. But you can get the senior guide by calling the 1-800 number, or we're putting it online. So if you're tech savvy, you can download it as well.
And we'll be talking about this at length next time you guys are on next month, which will be great. We can go through some of the things, at least we'll get through that are in there.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Eric in Endeavor. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I have a quick question about the internet thing, but real quick, all seriousness aside, I avoid scams by avoiding Walmart altogether.
So,
okay. Anyways, my mom actually ordered something called Power for Patriots, and I'm proud of her because it was the first internet scam she's fallen for. But it was a big book on how to build your own solar and wind power, and it was obviously a scam because it was written in convict speak. It was a joke, and then they had some a CD with it, and for pretty much no reason whatsoever that I could tell, it said, "Go ahead and put this in your computer to get more information." And I advised her against that. And everybody who had fallen for this, then I said, from now on, look up before you order stuff. Look it up online and see the reviews on this product. And of course, it was all negative, and no one actually got their money back. But is there any record of CDs that come with products that actually have malicious software that goes on your computer?
Oh, that's one we haven't heard about, or at least I haven't. Have you, Sandy or Michelle?
No, I haven't.
No. Haven't either. This is the first, so we'll have to start looking into that and talking to our state partners, see if they're seeing that.
He does bring up a good point. Before you do business with a company that you don't really know a lot about, you can just type in the company name, Google the company name, and scam and see what comes up. The internet is great, a great tool for that.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Sandy in New Berlin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Sandy, Michelle. My question is regarding email. In the last year, I have received, maybe three or four emails where it looks like, here's something from my cousin Mark. Here's something from my husband. And lo and behold, I click on it, and I think, well, this is odd. Why would he send this to me? And it's something that's not related, maybe, and it's not exactly an advertisement. And yes, there are sometimes links that I'm encouraged to click on. And actually, this just happened yesterday, and I noticed that the email address that followed my husband's name was not anything connected to the one that he actually uses. So what is up with that? What are they trying to achieve? And I have to say, the first time I fell for this was about a year ago, and I did all that clicking and went to click down the link. And at this point, I'm not aware that I did any damage to our computer in terms of viruses. So I just wonder what that's all about.
Well, what's probably happened is that your friend's email account has become infected in some way, and then a botnet has taken it over and uses the friend's account to spam the contact list. It happens a lot. Do not open the email or click on any links, because that will likely infect your email account as well. You may want to contact this person and let him know that his email account's
husband,
been...
I think.
Okay, well...
I did do that with my cousin last year.
Oh, the cousin.
And now I'll have to tell that to my husband tonight when he gets home from work.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah, because we're using the same computer, so now I don't know what that means, what's in store for us.
Well, you at the very least, run your antivirus software, do a scan, and you may end up having to close that email account.
Okay.
Yep. And reopen under it. Okay. You can close and reopen. Actually, yeah, that's fairly easy to do. So,
And if you do have any questions, your internet service provider is a good resource.
Yeah, Good luck. Thank you for calling, Sandy. We have Neil in Slinger, I think, with a question. Hi, Neil.
Hi, this is not related to internet scam or anything like that, but subscription impropriety. I subscribed to PC World for many, many years. I have about 10 months remaining on my two-year subscription, and they sent me a letter that I will now only be able to receive internet read of the publication. They would not send physical copy, and if within X amount of time I did not sign up for the internet, I had no recourse. And that was from PC World, which is nationally sold. So I don't know if it's internet fraud or just plain fraud or deception or goodness knows what.
Yeah,
Neil, we've seen a couple of magazines doing similar functions. I don't know if it's the paperless, the green, or what's happening, but we would encourage you to file a complaint so we can open a communication with them and review that for the law and if there's a refund or anything that we could make you eligible for.
Yeah.
I don't care about the refund. Just let the folks know not to subscribe to PC World and make folks aware that this may happen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I still like to have the paper. You know,
right.
I have the newspaper delivered to my home. I have magazines delivered to my home because I still like to have the paper in front of me.
Right. A lot of people still like the paper. Some like the paperless, and so you have options and choices.
Well, and. So I understand what you're saying, Neil. Denise in Menominee. We got time for Denise. You have a quick question?
Yes. My concern is that I've received two phone calls this week, one at 9 p.m. at night, one at 7:30 in the morning, stating they are from Microsoft Solutions and that my computer has sent them an error report and they want me to go onto my computer and they're going to tell me how to fix this.
Mm. Yeah, that is a scam. It's a fairly common one. Microsoft does not contact people that way about problems. So a lot of people have had their computers infected that way.
So just ignore.
Correct.
Do not go anywhere.
Do not let them take control of your computer. You will be sorry.
You will be very, very sorry. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here we got about a minute or so. We still right as we go to the end here. I know there are some things that you may want to say in summary. Sandy, what do you think?
Well, we're sending out a consumer alert today to people in southeast Wisconsin. We know there's a door-to-door sales crew going around trying to sell asphalt for driveway, and it's a scam, and be on the lookout for them. If you see them, call your local law enforcement office.
Okay. Anything else as we go? What's the number again? How do we get a hold of?
1-800-422-7128.
1-800-422-7128?
That's right.
Well, thank you so much. You guys are coming back next month. Do we have a date on that? Probably. It'll be about a month. It'll be about a month, Judith says. Don't confuse us with dates right now. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryden, our guests. Sandy is administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And they'll be back in about a month. And we will especially want to talk about that senior guide that they've got available for you and for me. Coming up tomorrow, oh my goodness, it's Friday already. Garden Talk, Scott Royce, a UW Extension Horticulture and Ag Agent for Marinette and Florence Counties, our guest. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.